Coming to you from the heart of the Diocese of Savannah, this is It's Catholic, Y'all, a series of conversations about faith and life. Views expressed in this podcast do not necessarily represent the views of the Diocese of Savannah.
Hello, my name is Joan Altmeyer. I'm the Director of Safe Environment for the Diocese of Savannah. Thank you for joining us on this podcast. April is National Child Abuse Prevention and Awareness Month, so we want to take an opportunity to share about the work we do and the resources available in our Office of Child and Youth Protection, also known as Safe Environments. Before we jump into discussing this topic, we want to acknowledge that this is a conversation that may be triggering to some listeners, as it discusses issues related to abuse. We are happy to be joining together today to discuss the positive strides that the church here has made and is undertaking still combating the evil of child sexual abuse. In the Diocese of Savannah, an institution deeply rooted in faith and moral responsibility, we also recognize and acknowledge the failings in our shared past and express contrition towards those innocent souls who were harmed. Today, robust measures have been made in implementing safeguards for all vulnerable members of our communities. So for those of you who are unfamiliar with the work that we do, or have never taken the Protecting God's Children for Adults training, what is an overview of what we do and how we do it? Let's look at a little bit of the history. Back in January of 2002, the Boston Globe newspaper published an investigative article which shows at that time there were 93 priests in that archdiocese who had sexually abused children in churches and schools. And the ecclesia was aware of this. Nothing was done to stop this grave evil. In June of 2002, our bishops met at their semi-annual meeting in Dallas, Texas, and promulgated an very important document, the Charter for Protection of Children and Young People. With this charter, they promised to do four things. We're going to promote healing and reconciliation with all victims of child sexual abuse of our clergy. These victims may or may not want to hear our pleas for reconciliation, and we respect that. But if you are interested in hearing our penitent calls, we want to do everything we can to help you gain and become the person that God uniquely planned you to be when you were conceived. We're also called by the Charter to develop an effective response to every new allegation of child sexual abuse in the Catholic Church. In the past, if somebody suspected or knew that a child was hurt, they would often report to somebody within church administration. We need to know and understand this is a crime, a criminal activity. We're going to make certain that everybody knows to report this to the proper civil authorities, whether that be Department of Family and Children's Services here in Georgia, or to the police. We're also called to ensure the accountability of our procedures. Each year, we are audited by an unbiased, outside, independent auditing firm to make certain that we're doing things properly. We've set safe environment requirements in place. We're ensuring that our parishes, schools, and social service agencies are using these requirements to help strengthen and protect not only children, but anybody in their congregation. Finally, we have to ensure the faithful of the future, our children. We want to make certain that within our churches and schools, they're able to join us, worship with us, learn with us in environments where they don't feel any threat of being harmed. Without those threats, the Holy Spirit can come to them and help guide them as they grow in their spiritual love for all. So joining me today for this conversation are two very important members of the team we have in the Diocese of Savannah. First, I'd like to introduce you to Melissa King. Melissa is the Safe Environment Coordinator at St. Francis Cabrini Church here in Savannah, Georgia. Also joining us is Renee Singleton. Renee is one of our certified Virtus Protecting God's Children for Adults trainers, and she leads up the education at many of our local churches and schools. So, Melissa, tell us, how did you get involved in the work of Safe Environment? And can you tell us anything about the evolution of Safe Environments in your role?
I got started with Safe Environments about 6 years ago. That came about when our Catholic school on campus closed. When our school on campus closed, our priest, Father Gabe, came to me asking if I'd be willing to take on the role as Safe Environment Coordinator for St. Francis Cabrini.
Okay. And did you know what to expect when he asked you to take on that role?
No, ma'am, I did not.
Tell us what you do as a Safe Environment Coordinator.
As a Safe Environment Coordinator, any volunteer or any employee that comes on campus, I make sure that they understand what Safe Environment is, that they take the training module. We go over the background check and the ministerial code of conduct.
Wonderful. And have you noticed any evolution in the program since it began or since you began working as a coordinator?
The evolution I've seen is that more and more volunteers are more willing to take the training and not so much of the, I don't work with children, why do I need to do this?
And to put you on the spot, why do you think that willingness has become more of a positive aspect within your parish?
Our parish is a very loving and diverse parish, and everyone wants to look out for each other. We have not only a number of children, but we also have vulnerable adults that are very active in our ministries. And our church is very protective of them, and they want to do all that they can to make sure they stay protected and happy and healthy.
I've been a facilitator here in the diocese for a little over 5 years. I am working in parish ministry here in the diocese. And so it really is a benefit to our parishes to have someone in the parish who's active in the parish who's able to offer these trainings. And so I'm thankful to you and to my pastor at the time who recommended me for this facilitator position. And it's really been a blessing to be able to bring this message into the diocese.
That's wonderful. And have you noticed any particular changes, any evolution in Safe Environment in our diocese since you began your role as a facilitator?
I think the biggest thing that that's kind of an element of the program now that never was before, we seem to talk a lot more about technology. And when I first took the training, that wasn't even a component of the program. And when I became a facilitator, even then, I think it maybe was mentioned a couple of times in the program. But I love the way the Virtus program has just responded to the needs of the church as it's changed and the way our diocese has implemented that evolution as well.
Melissa, you mentioned a few minutes ago about being a Safe Environment Coordinator and how you make certain that all of your volunteers and employees have the training, the criminal background check, and understand the ministerial code of conduct. How do you manage doing this?
I currently use the admin module on the Virtus website that allows me to look at every single person that is registered as a volunteer to make sure that their background, their code of conduct, and their training is up to date. And I give myself at least one day each week to go through to make sure that everyone is compliant.
Wonderful. So in my opinion, we're talking about technology again, and where in the training sessions, technology is a threat. Here we have technology as a wonderful benefit and a positive tool that helps us better manage and be able to see what we're doing. That's good news.
Yes, ma'am.
And as a facilitator, Renee, what type of responsibilities do you shoulder?
As a facilitator, we're not child abuse experts by any means, and I think we're always careful to just make sure that people understand that we don't know everything there is to know about child abuse. But as a facilitator, my role is to take the materials from Virtus, this well thought out program created by the real experts, and present it to our volunteers, our parents, just members of our community here in the diocese. And make sure that that's presented thoroughly. We want all of the information to come across every time. But just due to the nature of the information, we have to do it with compassion and sensitivity to the people that are there. And so, I think my responsibility as a facilitator is just making that information accessible.
And you do it with such compassion. I love hearing that, because each time we have a Protecting God's Children for Adults training, at least in my experience, almost every time, we know that there's somebody at that training that's been affected by this terrible, terrible crime, whether they were affected directly or more often than not. They know or love somebody who was hurt in this way, and they have strong feelings about it. So it's important to understand and know that whenever we've got a group of people together, whether it be attending a training session or whether it be worshiping in mass, we don't know what's in the hearts and minds of that person sitting in front of us or in back of us and what their shared experiences are.
Sometimes that can be a triggering thing for people, but I've also seen it to be incredibly healing as well, that there have been experiences that after the training, someone might be willing to share that, you know, they experienced this abuse, or they knew someone that did, but now they see the church responding in a way that they didn't before. They see the community being empowered in a way they weren't before. And that can be a healing experience as well, which is beautiful. But we just recognize that that everyone might be in a different place in
the
training as well.
Very good. And what you do visibly at your parish, being that point person who everybody knows, we've got to make sure that Melissa has all of our stuff in line. And for you being that visible face that's sharing the news, I do think that for so many people who have been hurt and traumatized in the past, it's very encouraging for them to know that the Catholic Church admits this. They know that they did wrong in the past, and they will listen to us. We now have a voice where they didn't feel like they had a voice before. So my next question is the tough stuff. We want to talk about challenges that we've been facing since this program was inaugurated. I will say that we officially began with the program September 1st of 2003 here in our diocese, and I've been on with it since the ground level. It's at first, I considered it to be a great challenge. Today, I consider it to be a great blessing. And there have been many challenges that we've faced over the years, and we've worked to overcome those challenges. For myself, it's been a challenge to help everybody see what we do in safe environments is not an administrative tool. This is truly a ministry. It's one of those behind-the-scenes ministries. So, for instance, like Tribunal. Tribunal brings healing, for the most part, to many people who want to be entered into a union in our church and in marriage. And for us, it's behind the scenes as well. We're there to enhance all of those other ministries. For instance, when we think about faith formation, children who are going every Sunday to their parish to learn about God's love for us, they want to do so in an environment where they can feel safe, even if it's just for a few minutes. Diocesan Youth Conference is coming up next weekend. That's a big thing. You're going to have so many hundreds of people that are gathered together for that, and they want to be able to worship and enjoy God and the Holy Spirit. And we want to make sure that they're able to do that without worry or concern about being hurt. So for me, the biggest challenge that I've been facing is having people accept the fact that what we do in safe environments is truly a ministry. So for a coordinator, what type of challenges have you seen, Melissa? And have you found any way to possibly overcome any of those challenges?
My biggest challenge to date has been getting people to understand that a safe environment is not just for people that work with children, but for every volunteer in our parish to help keep each other safe. I'm very blessed to have Father Gabe, who's very inclusive, and he includes anyone that wants to volunteer in ministry, even those that sometimes don't always have the opportunity to volunteer. That showed our community that it's not just children, it's everyone. And everyone needs to look out for God's children and adults.
I think one challenge in presenting the sessions is at this point, everyone knows that child abuse exists. There's not many people that come into the sessions that are hearing that news for the first time. But people do come in with, as we know, false perceptions about child abuse, and breaking through kind of those barriers can be a challenge. Breaking through the who is the typical predator kind of ideal. And so if people come into the sessions just with an open mind, they usually leave feeling just more empowered. And I'm thankful again for the Virtus program itself, for the what they provide to us that really does, it meets a lot of those challenges that people come in with. It understands where some of the disconnect is with the community and addresses those challenges.
And I've seen some of what you've brought up also in both areas, and I'm so glad that we're meeting challenges. I want to address the challenge that you mentioned, Melissa, about how people don't understand that they need to be safe environment compliant because they're not working directly with children. When we first started this safe environment program in 2003, in parishes, that was definitely the case. We only required people who worked directly with children to meet requirements. But back in July of 2012, here in the state of Georgia, the state changed the laws regarding mandated reporting. And the new law is very clear. Any adult age 18 or older who works or volunteers for any organization that offers services to youth is now a mandated reporter of child abuse. Here's where we had a great challenge. Somebody shows up. They hand out donuts after Mass. They're not working with the child, but they're volunteering. They have no idea that they are now a mandated reporter under state law. That adult is just as valuable to us, and we want to protect them just as much as we want to protect children and vulnerable people. So we need to make certain that they are aware of their civil obligations. And that's why we now require everybody to complete all the safe environment requirements. We want to make sure every adult, even if they never cross the path with the child, if they're volunteering for us, they know how to spot potential threats, how to spot potential dangers, who to report those concerns to, and when to report those concerns to. By doing all of this, that challenge has definitely been met. And not only are we ensuring the safety of the children, we're ensuring the stewardship of our entire parish family. Not just the people within, but quite often, even the physical structure. We're doing so many positive changes by requiring all adults to meet safe environments. Renee, I want to address this question to you. What is one common myth you would like to address about spotting potential abuse?
I think that we have this idea. I know when I was growing up that we kind of were taught that that we should watch out for strangers, that as long as we keep our children close to the people that we know and trust, that they'll be safe. We know now statistically that that's just not the case, that that it's more common for a child to be victimized by someone within the family or someone that the family knows. And so we want to make sure that people understand that an abuser can be anyone. It can be any adult that has access to any child.
I myself find the most uncomfortable fact to acknowledge is the fact that 89% of the time a child is sexually abused. They're being abused by somebody that either the child or the parents and the guardians know, love, and trust. And when we accept that fact, we have to take some responsibility ourselves that we may have been the one that put that child in danger. That's very challenging. And I can see where so many people want to cling to a myth that it's a stranger or somebody that we don't identify with. So that's a great point. Thank you. Virtus is a brand name. They're the organization that produces all of our training components that we use in our diocese. Most of you are familiar with the initial training, the 3-hour session, Protecting God's Children for Adults, which is required before ministry begins. But they also have monthly training bulletins, which we require some of our roles to complete. For instance, if you're paid full or part-time or stipend in our schools, you'll read the monthly training bulletins. And our parishes, all active and assigned clergy, read them. People who have particular supervisory roles, particularly with children, are going to be reading them as well. For our children themselves, Virtus offers a training product called Empowering God's Children. The Empowering God's Children lessons are delivered every year, mandatory in our schools. They're also delivered every year in our parish faith formation programs. Parents do have the ability to opt out of that training in the parish faith formation programs, but for everybody who does opt their child out, we strongly encourage their director or coordinator of religious education to share the lesson plan with that parent. The information the children receive is extremely powerful. It teaches them the sanctity and safety of their bodies. It teaches them to be proper stewards of the gift of life that God has given them. It shows them how to recognize if anybody is a threat to them. And it also teaches them who is a safe person to talk to whenever they feel threatened. Virtus has a wonderful staff, and they are particularly blessed to have on board with them content creators, even from the backgrounds of theology and philosophy, along with analytical and scientific backgrounds. And they're able to mold that information together to produce for us education products that are not only important in knowing how to keep children safe, but also keeping within the theological and accepted practices of the Catholic Church. There are a number of other non-Catholic and secular programs that are very familiar with the different educational tools that's offered by Virtus. Virtus themselves offers a secular program called Protecting All Children, which is offered, I know, in one of our private secular schools here in the city of Savannah, Georgia, but it's also offered throughout the country and throughout the world. There are other companies similar to Virtus called Presidium. Presidium is used primarily by religious orders. The Knights of Columbus also focuses their training on Presidium. Darkness to Light is another beautiful program that does help us understand how we can protect children and those around us. And as time goes on, I expect to see many other programs enter into the marketplace simply because this topic, where it was difficult to speak about 20 years ago, we now find the voice to be able to bring forward and to talk to everybody about. And because of this, thoughts come forward, people see things slightly differently, but quite often we're all working together for the same goal. What are some ways people can support the work of this office and ministry, or perhaps simply learn more about to protect children in general? If you do not work or volunteer, if you're not employed or volunteered in any capacity by the Diocese of Savannah or one of its entities, you can still Google Virtus, V-I-R-T-U-S. And their homepage already has a wealth of information on it and tools and resources for the general public. If you're an active parishioner in one of our churches, we strongly encourage you, even if you do not work or volunteer, go ahead, sign up for the training, take the training. You might find that you yourself can be one of those tools that can be used to help us create safer spaces for everybody. As a matter of fact, one of the things I often hear as I finish one of the Protecting God's Children for Adults trainings, why don't you make everybody do this? I hear that so often because it truly is inspirational.
We've had people that have come before. I know I've had husbands that attend a session and they go home and they say to their wives, you have to do this, or vice versa, or grandparents, aunts. I mean, I don't have children of my own, but we all interact with children so much in our day-to-day lives. And this information is just invaluable to anyone, not just those that are volunteering and working here in our parishes and in our diocese.
I also feel like it teaches us tools on how to be more respectful to everybody in general, how to be that type of person that God wants us to be. Is there any other thing that you can think of that you find might be helpful to speak about in this podcast?
My son is an altar server and a lector. He recently just turned 18, and he wants to take the training so that he can see what he can do to help prevent any child being hurt in the future.
Well, I want to thank both of you for joining me today, Melissa and Renee. It's April. Blue pinwheels are a sign of hope for children who are being abused, so they're your pinwheels. If you would like any more information or you need any help, feel free to contact the Office for Protection of Children and Young People for the Diocese of Savannah. You can find us on the diocesan website, www.diosav.org. Go to the menu bar on the right and find the Office for Protection of Children and Young People, Child and Youth Protection, and click on it. You'll find my contact information for Joan Altmeyer, and I'm more than happy to respond to your phone calls and your emails. Thank you both for being a guardian angel and for all of our volunteers and employees who work so hard to make sure that the Holy Spirit can enter into all of our hearts, minds, and bodies. We want to thank you as well.
This has been an episode of It's Catholic, Y'all. Visit us at diosav.org or on our Diosav social media platforms for more.